All right, so we want to talk about, have a bit of a discussion about what stuff we can maybe kill and remove. And sort of a related discussion is what stuff in Mesa can we just force to always be enabled? Because every time we have something that, an extension that is available in some drivers and not available in other drivers, we end up with piles of checks sprinkled throughout the code of, you know, if this extension is enabled, then do this, otherwise produce this sort of error. So it's it cleans the code up a bit if you can just gut all that and say, no, it's always there. So there's a few that, coming through the list, certainly a sort of first group, I think we can just always enable. The only kind of possible, well, so the Apple object purchable one might be a little bit questionable, and maybe RPAO. So we always enable vertex buffer object, and we have for years. So every driver supports it. Although in most of them, in particularly the old fixed function drivers, it's just soft, malloc memory, because you're running through software TNL anyway, so what else would you use? So there have been some other extensions added over the years to extend the capabilities. Our copy buffer lets you, say, take this blob out of this buffer object and copy it to this location in another buffer object. Pretty straightforward implementation of that for the software paths. And most of the hardware drivers that do real VBOs already support this, so it seems like we can just turn it on. Map buffer range lets you control some synchronization when you map a buffer object into your address space. One, it lets you map a portion of it and then do some other controls about whether or not the driver does synchronization on the memory. So you can do sort of a, so the apps can do their own managed ring buffer in a buffer object, allocate a giant buffer object, then sub-allocate a little chunk off of it, do some stuff, fire off rendering commands, map the next blob, fill it in, unmap it, fire off rendering commands, and do that sort of thing, which again is trivial for the software paths. Object purgeable that Chris implemented. Yeah, that he implemented about a year and a half ago and then committed about a year ago. I think we can also go ahead and just enable that, but...
Yeah, it's just a no-op if you don't actually kick stuff out, right?
Right.
Has it been pushed? No. Right. Has it been pushed? No.
It seemed like there was maybe... I didn't go back and really look at the spec, but it seemed like there was some weird stuff in there that you kind of had to do, so that maybe in some of the cases you had to be able to do some things. I don't remember.
No, Chris, didn't you
use it? Yeah, I just
want to ask you a question. I wish you had a bad time, but... I don't know. Yeah, some applications might actually have two ports. One if we have that, and one if we don't have it, and if we have it, they might over-allocate the stuff. So they are counting all the stacks to post or something.
Right. That would be the other case. Is if they're gonna do something different. Although that's not how the extension was intended to be used, but I can certainly envision apps doing that.
Like I said, this is a cheap extra free operation.
That would be an app, and we could control it with DRIC comes to that, right?
Well, then that sort of defeats always enabling it, because then you need to be able to go back and disable it, right? There's a difference between having it be enabled by default and just always there. You can't say to you.
I'm saying I don't think those apps will be that common, because they don't know what size of GRAM they're going to be running on in general, right? So or how much extra space is going to be available in general. So I don't think we'll run into it. If we did, we could do DRIRC.
But what would the DRIRC do?
All say for this app,
just take it out of the. Like you, the code could still assume that the support was always there, except for the piece that determines whether or not that string shows up in your attention.
Yeah. So that's the other thing that's maybe a related issue to the discussion I missed this morning about the KDE stuff, where we have some cases where we want to enable some functionality but maybe not have the extension string show up. So like the NPOT texture stuff. And want to be able to enable that so you can advertise OpenGL 2, but not have the extension string show up as the dirty hack that the binary drivers used to do. To say, you know, yeah, it's there, but if you use that path, you'll fall back to software. Or, you know, something will happen to make you sad.
Well, that'll happen. That's what would happen anyway. If you drop the string out, GLX get progress would still bind the function.
Right, but you wouldn't. Yeah.
And since everyone has to go through Blue, GLEW, because
right.
Otherwise you fail on some builds with NVIDIA driver, that's what they're going to do. They're going to be bouncing through whatever the resolver path is to find the function.
Well, except Blue, if it doesn't see the string, it doesn't look up the function. Right. It actually does the right thing. It's almost like they wrote it correctly.
Well, but again, then you're explicitly defeating Blue, which means you know that you're on the on-type fire path. Is that right? All right.
Okay. But so I guess where I was not what I was not articulating is that we don't have a way to. I guess if we just rip out all the checks. We could just leave the existing mechanism for controlling the string, and that would just work.
Yeah.
Okay, I take that back. So, VAOs, I think we should just enable, but I don't remember if that requires any changes to the driver if you're a software TNL driver, or if you just flip the switch and it just works. It would be easy enough to try it if we have any test cases for VAO, and I don't know that we do. Which is sort of the last question is, if we're going to just turn these on in a bunch of drivers where they weren't turned on before, you know, how do we know that we haven't horribly broken them? And then I think I changed my mind about dry elements based vertex. You can pretty much always implement the useful functionality of draw elements based vertex, which is basically you do a draw call and you where with a with an array of indices as what you're going to draw, and you provide an extra parameter that's a bias that gets added to all those indices in it. So if the bias is a positive bias, you can just, in the driver, update your vertex array pointers and it just works. But that trick doesn't work for negative bias, since you might have to point, you know, before the beginning of memory or something, which is usually kind of rough. So I think I'm going to take that one off the list. And then generate mipmaps, because everyone uses that or wants to use that, and there's quite a few of the drivers that don't do real memory allocation that don't accelerate this that enable it, and there's just a small handful that don't, and that will end up hitting the exact same paths as the unaccelerated drivers that are already enabling it, so it should just work. Rip out a bunch of those other checks. So I missed the discussion that we had this morning about, or that was supposedly had this morning about what developers can rely on. Was there a rough synopsis of that?
I mean, I think mostly just came down to like, you know, better. communication.
Okay.
I mean, it's tough because you want to enable as much of the functionality as possible, but you can't test all the corner cases necessarily.
Although we are getting better about a lot of the tests.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely improving, but, to not enable GL2 because, something they're doing something that you have to encounter or and, well, why do you enable the extension if it doesn't work? Well, it works for most things,
Right. Okay.
But I don't know. Unless you have other ideas or something. I mean, a lot of the stuff they were doing could easily be done, have been done with, like, GL1.3, but...
Well, if you've programmed the texture combiners very much, there's a reason.
Right.
Because programming the texture combiners in GL1.x is just so miserable. Oh man, I'd rather be thrown down the stairs. I'm sure it could be arranged. So the one thought that I had about that, particularly related to this, is what we ought to target is basically on all the programmable chips properly supporting the stuff in GL2 that's in ES2, right? Because there's ES2 is basically exactly what R300 and 915 do.
Okay.
Right. So that's sort of the minimum bar.
Yep.
And the sort of the advantage there is that the ES2 shading language spec in the back of it has an appendix of this is all the stuff that's in the spec, but that some hardware just won't do. So you aren't guaranteed that variable indexing into shader outputs, for example, you're not guaranteed that will work. And when you try to compile a shader that does that, the compiler might say no. And, gosh, we have a lot of hardware like that. And now we have to do some crazy stuff to try to make that work or, explode.
Yeah.
So saying that this is what we support as a minimum on broad class of hardware gives a pretty clear message to developers of what they can rely on for the programmable hardware.
Yep.
And then there's the mishmash of what's on the non-programmable hardware that is increasingly less relevant. So,
Just keep them the DLE aspect.
Yeah, right. And so what, I don't know if we've actually enabled it yet, but one of the things that we're doing is there's with the previous version of OpenGL that was released at SIGGRAPH, there's an extension ARB ES2 compatibility that basically enables shading language 100. So you can say pound version 100 and use an actual ES shader because there's some differences in the shading language. And then it enables the really small handful of API entry points that are in ES2 that aren't in desktop GL, which is mostly float versions of some functions that take double parameters in desktop GL, and because some people's crummy little embedded CPUs don't do doubles at all, so they couldn't do those functions. And then it also enables the fixed point vertex attributes, but we have paths that just make that work in MESA, so it ends up being no work for drivers. So essentially, if you have a driver that does OpenGL2, you can just turn this on and it just works.
We haven't turned that on yet, but we should see it.
Yeah. But we haven't turned it on, but all the mechanism is there to...
I think we just need to advertise it.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. And maybe that's something that we should do if it just automatically, if Core Mesa detects, oh, they're OpenGL2, just flip that other switch for them.
Sure.
have tests for that?
Well, so that's what we're using to run a bunch of the ES conformance tests.
Okay, but nothing on the source.
Not as of yet. We've mostly just been using the kernel as a conformance test.
Right. So.
I'll put the read on that access to it.
Yeah. So, and that's another area where we need to keep making more tests, right? Because there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, for example, there are no GLSL 1.30 tests at all. So there's a lot of 1.30 tests. I mean, the main differences between ES and desktop for shading languages, there's some changes that Ken enjoyed a lot in scoping and name hiding rules. And then the precision qualifiers. So there's not a lot of differences. And the precision qualifiers were actually added as, you know, accept them, but they're no ops in later versions of desktop DLSL. So we need to have tests for those anyway, and we can just pretty easily add those. And then.
I was more thinking about the
Right. No, there's no tests for those, but it's like 8 functions. So we could probably sit down in an afternoon and come up with some minimum tests that basically go through and do something using the regular desktop way, and then do the same thing using the ES functions, and you better get the same result. I mean, coming up with 10 or 15 of those kinds of tests should be pretty trivial.
Yeah.
And if we would have had this discussion earlier in the week, we probably could have done it all here.
One thing that comes to mind, as we had your extension already, we want to put a requirement that if you add stuff to Mesa, you also have to add stuff to Jack the testers.
Well, I think we should, but I mean, it's an open source project, and we don't have a single gateway for getting commits into the tree, so we don't really have a mechanism to enforce that. And we do that. that's something that we should, because then that would make this question go away when we want to make changes like this, because it would be yes, we have those tests because we wrote them when we added the functionality, and I think most people have been pretty good about doing that over the last year or so, that whenever they add something, either a handful of Glean tests or a handful of Piglet tests show up. Right? Because people, I mean, whenever you implement an extension, most people write some little test cases anyway, just so that, you know, while they're trying to put this functionality in.
I'm just wondering if you want to talk to the policy.
I think we should. Okay. I think we should. It's... I guess the only real question is, how would we enforce it?
If you need to turn off people's commit access, I know how.
Okay. All right. Well, then we'll do that. We can add that to add some statement about that to the policy. So. Yeah. And I mean, just as we were doing the GLSL work, all the tests that we added to Piglet found so many bugs in the new compiler and the old compiler that I think that all the new tests is actually the biggest win of the new compiler. As awesome as the compiler is itself, adding like 600 tests or whatever we added is, I think, an even bigger deal. So, what this what this segment was really supposed to be about wasn't stuff to add or force to always be enable, but stuff that we should just rip out. And I came up with a list of Mesa extensions, and I'm sure people can think of things other places in the stack that can probably just be removed.
So part of what we wanted to do is just to put the topic before you guys and say, you know, each of you probably have something in the back of your mind that's largely historical interest or just isn't needed anymore or you'd really like to see go away. So let's do some brainstorming and get that stuff on the list. If nothing else, hopefully we can make the diagram map found a little nicer.
So the stuff I came up with, so where this started actually for us was, I don't even remember what we were doing, but somehow we stumbled across some of the pixel path stuff in the ARP imaging extension. So the ARP imaging is sort of an umbrella that is a whole bunch of other extensions, some of which are really useful, like some added blend functions that are actually part of 4 OpenGL now. And then a bunch of pixel path stuff that nobody freaking uses. Like, there's some functions where you can specify a color matrix that when you upload a texture, it transforms each pixel, the pixel color of your uploaded texture by this matrix.
Yeah, that way you can do color space conversion on upload. And it was free on some old SGI hardware.
Exactly. Exactly. And so now if you want to do that, you write a shader and do what the thing that you actually wanted to do. And
that's it. That's it. That's a texture fetch type instead of texture.
No, no, it's that upload.
Oh, there's a shader you can upload through a shader?
Well, no, so what you would do is you would upload your texture and then run that texture through
another texture.
Right, which is what the driver would have to do anyway if it were written sensibly. But instead what we have is literally thousands of lines of C code to implement all of this stuff. Because if you're not on shader hardware,
yeah.
So Eric has a branch in his personal Git tree that's, I don't remember what it's named, but it's some fairly obvious name in his tree if you pull that tree.
Imaging dies with fire.
I had told him you should call it ARP imaging die, but I think he just named it ARP imaging.
Yeah, it's ARP imaging.
Yeah, so it. I think he figured out that it's 3% of the total lines of core Mesa code go away by removing the useless parts of this. That seems pretty good. and. And I'm not sure, I'm actually not sure if he was done.
So probably not. I mean, there's, once you get rid of imaging, there's a whole bunch of other simple things you can make. Like,
right.
Okay, now we can fold away this entire matrix because it no longer needs to be conditional on this.
Right, right. So, and in particular, this was so, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so, I was working on adding support for texture RG, and it hits through a bunch of places that sort of tangentially go through some of these things, and it's, oh, this hits some pixel transfer stuff, and I need to go and twiddle with all this crap so that these paths that nobody uses will work with the new texture formats. And every time I thought I had found the last place where I needed to modify, there was another. So removing all those places would be nice. Because then you don't have to modify it.
Or just don't modify it.
Yeah.
We're going to get rid of them anyway.
If you're using imaging as the text, you probably deserve it.
Yeah, but if both are there, then there will be some you know, someone will end up submitting a bug, and I will have to respond to that bug. Even if my response is...
You fix it.
Is patches welcome or go away? It means I still have to spend some time responding to it. And then it's also the task of figuring out which of the paths through that twisty, horrible maze of code actually need to be modified and which ones can be ignored. Because it is a giant nest of...
How many of the blob solution that is mentioned?
NVIDIA ships it,
I know Apple ships it.
Huh?
I believe Apple ships it, the blob still.
I don't think they do. Actually, here. Yeah, okay. And I believe that AMD does, but only for their workstation parts.
Probably.
And then for the other ones, they realize nobody uses this crap. So they don't put it in those drivers. And certainly those drivers are, you know, targeted at gaming, and no games use that crap.
They have it on the software writer and the way you own Xbox.
On Apple or?
Yeah,
Apple.
And
not on the NVIDIA parts?
Actually, they have it on the NVIDIA as well.
Okay,
but not Intel.
Yeah, but on the Intel.
So, I don't...
I was just wondering if in general it is kind of thing that people will assume is there, or if it is still kind of variable.
Well, and so then the other sort of fail thing about it is, as far as I know, we don't have any tests for any of these paths that aren't the blend functions, you know, any of the parts that we're talking about removing. So
the most complicated part is completely untested.
Yeah. So what could go wrong?
Do we really want people to use it?
So the most complicated, fragile part is largely untested. So that was sort of what started this, and then after that we found pretty easily a small handful of other things that can just go, or that I think can just go. Xcol Vertex is a software TNL way of doing some vertex culling a little bit earlier in the pipe that is enabled in SWRasp and the Intel drivers for reasons I don't know. And I don't think anyone else supports that extension.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the basic demos end up having a button you can press for turn vertex calling on or off. I've never seen it.
Right. Well, yeah, because it only actually, yeah. So what this does is it enables a hint that lets the driver do something if it can that's only implemented in the software TNL paths.
Right.
Seems kind of silly. And then, so that one seems like low-hanging fruit to go. Then the paletted texture ones is only enabled by SWRAF and the 3DFX drivers.
I thought it was in Matrox too.
It was in the very, very old Matrox. The problem with it is that all hardware only has one texture palette. Even multi-texture hardware usually only has one texture palette. So what happens if someone binds two textures with different palettes?
Right.
Sadness.
Oh, because then you can't multi-texture with it.
Yeah. So that, for example, is why it never got implemented in the IE30 driver.
But that's...
Years ago, I was going to do that, but it's like, oh, we can't do this and guarantee that it will actually work because of suckage. So since it's only used in one driver that is a very popular driver, it seems like a candidate to go.
Yeah.
I do. And again, it's more crap in complicated texture paths.
I want functionality like that at some point because I want.
I want it
to be able to eventually get to the point where I've got a visual for every depth on the X server. And I should be able to blow, because that way I don't have the depth switch down to run 8-bit Windows games in one. But, and so I can get rid of there's, and so it becomes almost the only reason to possibly want 8-bit overlays for like Maya is if you really can't deal with the overhead of compositing. Right? But I don't need it to be that. I just need a shader to do it. And I'm okay with having it be, you know, because that's one texture correction in that picture.
Right.
So I don't need palette texture, but I do want 8-bit. I do want
8-bit. Well, so the difference, it's not really any direction because the filtering happens after the palette lookup. And so if you do it,
you're kidding.
Oh, yeah. Right? It has to.
Yeah.
So that's why you can't fake it in the shader.
Right.
So there is another extension in ES that's...
Oh, yes, palette texture.
Yeah. Where you basically, the front of your texture image that you upload is your palette, and then the driver will either do palettedness with it or will just expand it on upload. Which, at least for textures, seems like more what you would want.
X, you end up getting the palette and the texture data separately because the texture data is the fixed map and the palette is the color map.
Right.
Right. But that's a really easy shader in a way. Because all I'm going to do
To do the expand.
When I do the blowout in my composite. Those are going to be on a synthetic visual, and whenever I go to composite them into the scene, there's going to be blown out to the day or ready to at that stage. That's fine. So I'm a little sad to see it go, but only in a nostalgia way.
So then the other one that I found, and there's a bunch of stuff in Mesa's extensions.c. It looks like someone went through and just added a whole bunch of extensions to that, and the only place where they added them is in extensions.c. So the strings are there, but there's nothing backing them. Wow. You know, they're all disabled, of course, but what the hell? So I didn't get blamed to figure out who did that, but I will so that I can go and yell at them.
There are other things like that go by in the past just because there are applications out there that says, here's a huge list of stuff that effectively matches the list of extensions supported by the driver I tested this on. And I'll assume I use all of them, even though I don't. But here's what programs actually use. So they advertise it just to make
the program. But that's the thing in this is that those extensions are just in the list. They're not enabled, so they don't show up in the extension string from the driver. So they're basically just taking up space in the C code.
I see. So these are not being advertised to the software as a means of making it. This is just...
Right. They're not advertised. They're just listed as, you could turn the switch on.
And it will do nothing.
You'll try to call these functions, and they will explode.
Yeah.
Because there'll be nothing backing them.
Hi, I am client storage, 2003, I am Romanik.
Well, so that one, client storage is different, we'll get to that, right? Because that actually did used to have a use, but it had a use with...
actually, he was using it for video, I think.
Actually...
Didn't you go with the Apple YCDCR extension? I think they added them around the same time.
Well, so that's the one. So that's the one where you can basically flip a switch that says that the GL can hang on to your pointers after the function returns, right? Because usually, anytime you give the GL a pointer to something in the application's address space, it has to be all done with that memory when the GL function returns. Like when you call text image. When it returns from text image, the driver's done using the app memory. So you could free it or override it or do whatever and it won't affect the GL. This extension says, you don't have to be done. And through some other mechanism later on, I'll find out that you're done. And there were a few ways of doing it. And we used to have some actual support for that on things that did
went through some of the upload paths, but as we got real buffer object support and gem and things like that, this kind of whittled away and is basically, it appears to basically be a no-op now. And I don't know that any apps on Linux use it. Or on platforms that use Mesa as their driver. But that might warrant a little more research. So, clip volume hint was another hinting mechanism so that you could, so the driver could do some other sort of. Oh, I know what this one was. So this extension was you could set a hint that says I've already completely frustum cold all the vertex data that I'm sending you, so you don't have to do any of the trivial rejection testing. But it looked to me like you can, that it doesn't do, that there's nothing that utilizes the hint. So an app could turn it on and it's basically ignored. And oh yeah, no drivers advertise the extension.
Well, it would be great. That would be good for the software drivers and stuff, you know, because maybe it would be quite popular.
Yeah, but it would if the code actually did something with it. And as far as I can tell, looking at it, the code doesn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
So, and it could, this could be another case of once upon a time the code did something with it, and through various changes to the code that got gutted out. But I don't think that anyone else, I think that this was an extension that was like, that came from some small vendor or I don't think any of the big three exposed this on any platform.
Apple does.
Does do NVIDIA or AMD on Windows?
No, I am.
So, and then the last one that we haven't talked about on the list is the Mesa PackDepth Stencil, which was written. It was another one that was in a super old version of MGA for purposes I don't know. I don't know what the heck you would use it for on that. Because it way, way predated frame buffer objects. So, you know, for those all those times when you want to upload depth data to your depth buffer. So it supported 24.8 depth stencil and 15.1 depth stencil because that's what MGA had. Right? But now nobody has 15.1 because seriously, 15 bits of depth, who are you kidding? And now there's the real extensions that people actually use that don't support the 15.1, so this one ends up, I think, amounting to maybe 10 lines of code being removed from Mesa for an extension that nothing enables, not even SWRS. It's just hanging around from history.
Just going through Google code search, nothing seems to be good.
Yeah. I think it was one that someone made and implemented many years ago. And
well, you know, back when the Matrix, G series card was a cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, DirectX 6.
Yes, the card with the craziest texture combiner hardware. Oh my god.
You know, it's actually quasi hardware.
It's actually what?
It's actually a quad-based rendering hardware.
Oh, yeah, more traps.
Yeah. The microcode warps, the reason it's called warp is to smash them down to triangles.
Yeah. Well, it's, well, no, it's to.
Triangles.
It's, yes, it's to rip triangles apart into traps.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of crazy in that hardware. Someone was had something funny in their Kool-Aid. So that was what I had on my list, and then Corbin, who had the original idea for this, had a list that basically came down to, he basically ended up summarizing it as out of the X server, the stuff that he thought would be guttable isn't really guttable or was already gutted. And then there's probably some things to remove from Mesa, although it's primarily removing some stale drivers and then some stuff. And we actually talked about before about the fixing the FBDev madness, FBDev versus KMS madness. But I think that's a bigger project that will need to be tackled incrementally. It isn't just go in and rip a bunch of stuff out and then have a party.
I mean, does anyone realistically care about any hardware that's like 12 years old?
Not us.
I mean,
well,
yeah. They're seriously like Trident. Like, you're gonna have better luck with Mesa, like.
Yeah. So there are a lot of those cards that.
Scary numbers.
Well, there's zillions of them, but did they ever really work that well?
People are still using them.
Yeah. And.
Well, but I mean, if we rip them out, are they going to lose functionality? And I don't consider performance as to be functionality, right?
Native mode settings are still important for a lot of these. Most of them have the base of iOS on a lot of these garbage.
Anything that does X video is important as well, because not being able to scale video sucks.
Yeah, right. But that's not FBDev drivers, right? I mean, you don't care about this, because this isn't your kernel.
I mean, for FBDev drivers, really the point of view that I start caring is +2. If it is your shaderable hardware, I would rather you be on KMS like infrastructure. But that means MGA, I don't care.
Right.
I would care about Arcelia,
but
I have Arcelia driver.
And that actually wasn't really shadered hardware.
It was 8.1.
Well, so it could do.
It claimed DX9 for a while, and then they fixed the driver.
Yeah. So. Well, so it was basically. So that means it's basically R200-ish.
Yeah.
So not shaded.
Not plus two. Okay, I might care about M series. But again, you don't have M series driver.
Right.
So, if you know the list of things that have an FBDev driver that may or may not apply, and where it could be less two-ish is like the newer XGI chips, the
stuff that we don't have any drivers for at all.
Yeah.
Right? Any 3D drivers for at all.
Yeah. I'm saying things where we do have an FBDev driver. There's a DFB, there's probably a SysFB that would bind to it, XP10 if you tried.
Well, there's a DRM for XP10.
And then, Holdo. And that's it. So I really don't care about, if you have an Alpha Blender, it's nice to keep your 3D driver working, but as far as like what support to KMS, get a shader.
Yeah.
Your life's gonna be very miserable.
So XV is maybe more important on that kind of hardware than
right.
3D, because you might watch movies but not play games.
Right.
So is there any of that? Does that add anything to the list of stuff that ought to have KMS?
Yeah.
Everything
where we currently have an XV driver. And that's...
Do we have a convenient list of that? Or?
Sure, let me see. Just give me a second.
Okay. Does that mean we're actually going to have to write a DRM for those ticket to ride cards?
Oh, I've already done that. It doesn't work.
Okay, write a working one.
I like
Really? Is anyone going to write a KMS card? Really?
Well, so the thing that's funny about those cards, and the reason that I bring it up is Adam and I, it keeps coming up between us because that's one of two cards that supported those SGI 1600 SW monitors.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which are fairly cool monitors, and I have one. I use it to play zombie movies in the background at my LAN parties. Because I'm a dork.
So the list of drivers with XP support is Alliance ProMotion, Cirrus, Glint, i740.
Which Glint now has KMS.
But no DDX support for KMS.
i740, Intel, Mach 64, Matrox, Nuvo, Open Chrome, Phrase 128, Radeon, S3 Merge, Savage, Silicon Motion, SIS, 3DFX, Trident, and VMware Legacy.
Wow, that's...
And also, well, did you mention the S3 ones?
S3 Verge and Savage, but not S3 Classic.
S3 Classic does. Someone
did some. Oh, yeah. Right. Somebody did ask that
and did it.
Oh, right, because I don't install that driver by default anymore.
So that's actually a scary long list.
Although Phrase 128, you probably actually just ran into Radeon.
Yeah, we keep threatening to do that, but the hard part of that is we don't actually have a software implementation of Iceberg C. We're doing that through VDE call still.
Which means I looked around for the specs on those pads and they're nowhere to be found.
Yeah. So you have to
trace the BIOS.
I have to trace the BIOS to figure out what it's actually doing. But yeah, it's 21. It's mid-20s. Well, of which we've got 3 drivers. So, you know, we're getting there.
which we have 3 that covers 98%?
99% of what you can buy now.
Yeah. Well,
if you're buying these cars now.
I'll go further and say 98% to 99% of what people are actually installing new versions of X and new kernels on.
Yeah. I don't get bugs on most of those. I haven't gotten the 9740 bug in years.
And it's not because there are no bugs.
Right.
And it's not because there are no bugs that haven't been found.
Right. So, I don't know. I mean, video doesn't really... Put it this way. Anything with multicam. How's that? If you can actually do multicam, you should probably have a camera. And that rules out Brave 128.
No, makes new multi-head coverage support.
Oh, okay. Rules out i740.
As well as good taste.
No,
rules out i740.
I've never seen a multi-head merge bar.
The laptops can do it.
I've seen multi-chip.
But the laptops can do multi-head.
Why do you keep telling me these
things? Wait, but at this point, do any of those laptops still have working batteries? Right? Because they've got to be pretty freaking old.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm hungry, just don't know all of them.
There were trends. Yeah, actually, all of these could be multi-head at some point. Maybe not boxes before.
Now you could as well.
Which one?
Laptops.
Mobility.
Of course, like 4 years ago, if you had a Mach 64, you could run a game at 2 FPS.
Well, yeah, but we're talking about video.
Okay.
But you can still play DVDs.
Well,
forget about HD.
The other issue is that some of these DDX is use VBE for mode settings.
No.
Very, very few.
I mean, you'll. Open Chrome sometimes. But that's about it.
Savage does
sometimes. Yeah. But like, these are terrible chips. Whereas the reason why they use DVD is because the present set of workarounds are in MIDI BIOS.
Yeah. What about XGI?
What about them? We may learn how to make hardware that has a working vice wizard. They managed to get worse from the SIS defense. Come on.
Yeah.
And they're a little too much Trident in there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, so...
Their second head was like the overlay expanded.
Yeah. So the XP are all Trident-derived designs. Yeah.
Because that seemed like such a stellar plan. And then the XG, the ones before that were the CIS-based designs.
Yeah, except that the Z7911, all the server checks were at RSIS.
Oh, that's right.
And those still get new variants every once in a while because they have to be ROHS compliant and have streams.
And same with all the freaking G200. Someone needs to be slapped.
Yep. But, I mean, this reality is this is a list of, yeah, these should work someday. And maybe we can sucker some, you know, bright young lad into doing these for us, right? I mean, that's how we got Flint.
Right.
But they don't matter.
Would we want to sucker someone into that or something that matters?
You know, you gotta start, you gotta have an hazing ritual, right? I wrote ESA for the number 9. You know? So, I don't really care. It's a list of, yeah, these are things that should move at some point, but if they work already, no one's going to be upgrading that machine. But they might upgrade M player to get a newer decoder, but then they're still going to blow out the YPDX, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, so then this was...
I think what we say is that we want to delete the FBDev drivers where have a KMS driver. And then as we grow the set of KMS drivers, that grows at its own pace.
And it seems that
Radeon's really the only... Radeon and Nuvo and Intel are all getting to the point where they probably could replace the FBDev version.
And it seems that making new KMS drivers is not that hard.
It really is.
Especially if you already have code somewhere that does the mode setting.
I mean, the hardest part is porting the Excel.
Yeah.
Your first iteration is you copy the mode setting code from the DDA and put it in the code, change the names.
Yeah.
Basically, you find the bugs that you left in.
Yeah, there's a little, it seems that there's a little bit more to it than that, but not very much.
I mean, there's a lot of them. They're doing MMIO and they actually had an EMA engine, but no one ever used it. Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything to do out of Corbin's list.
I don't know if he's in it.
I feel like.
What are you thinking?
Do we still have, do we build two software mouse drivers in Mesa?
There's like three.
Come on.
There's the classic SWRAST that's needed for software fallbacks in all the classic drivers.
Right.
And there's SoftPipe and LLVM pipe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, so. That can stop now. We should have one of those.
Yes.
So, and I think it's pretty obvious that it should be.
Well, I think what's going to start happening is some of our next effort is going to be LLVMing out of the compiler. So, what I'm expecting is actually going to come out of that is writing some code and moving some code around so that we don't have 47 copies of stuff, because there isn't a lot of need to or a lot of purpose in reinventing stuff, but a bunch of the code that's there isn't in a way that can be used in the places where we want to use it. But, you know, we can move stuff around. That's not hard, right? So, and we've got a list of. Actually, that would have been a good topic if I'd thought about it before. We've got a list that we're working on of refactors to do in Core Mesa, because there's a lot of rot in there where things can be cleaned up and dramatically simplified, so they can provide some new functionality.
We had like two or three iterations in the software that you helped that never all got completed.
There have been like 10 iterations of the software TNL code. And the vertex buffer handling, splitting, slicing and dicing, code. That was, for quite a while, about every 9 months, either Keith or Brian rewrote that code.
Yeah.
Or mostly rewrote it, and had to keep one of the old versions around because of walls.
So one of the other things that we did was that quite a while ago was like, remember that.
And so part of the reason why a bunch of that code kept getting rewritten is what was really wanted in that was to be able to JIT stuff, right? Is we wanted to say, this is what the app has given us as vertex formats or whatever, JIT some code that'll do the vertex fetching and feed that into whatever's gonna do the TNL on it. And we didn't have enough infrastructure to be able to do that in a credible way. I mean, there was a bunch of attempts that worked for some versions of SSE or, you know, things like that, but there was nothing general. And once we start having more LLVM happiness, then jitting tons of stuff in Mesa becomes just the way you should be doing.
We have that advocate for value.
Okay.
Do we still do the thing where we call all the way down into the driver for like immediate load geovertex? Because what we did, the proposal for things like Bless was that you could emulate that by having it just magically build it as well as smart and then dispatch later.
Right.
And that if you did that in a lot of cases, it ended up being faster because you can handle it all the way up to the GL without doing this jump through the current context necessarily. And it wasn't all the way down the driver.
Right.
Do we want to do that for?
I think it does that mostly. I mean, so the problem with it was, and I had looked at doing that, and I think I did a paper for one of the DDCs about that, yeah, it's great, but there's some corner cases where you fall off of great into either really, really bad or impossible. Things like display lists.
Right.
Make unhappiness.
Okay. So that emulation for less is necessarily complete for the time. It works for simple apps.
Right. But I think that it does try to build up a vertex array higher up in Mesa and not dump that down into the driver. And if it doesn't do that in classic Mesa, I'm 99% sure that they do that in Galleon. So I think that all the Galleon drivers get is either draw arrays or draw elements.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
I don't know. What time was I supposed to be done?
I'm going to your GL itself. I'm supposed to be done at 12. But there are two talks.
Okay.
The coffee talk is supposed to be at 4.
Okay. Oh, so both talks were supposed to be done at 4?
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. Well, one of them's done, I think. Okay. Well, then I guess there wasn't a lot on Corbin's list, and there was a few things on here that actually needed some more research. So I'll research the couple things on here: Apple client storage and VAO and base vertex.
Wait, folio would be nice.
Oh, to do research on? Oh, right. Right.
He's talking as I'm looking at these the vertex pipelines in Galleon, it's like click being cost and call up. So being not click is causing.
Right. But I question whether or not there are any, I mean, yeah, it would be great, but I question whether or not there are any apps that
you have. I found like two in Google Code Search.
Okay.
So two plus whatever bypass will be able to use it. And you can strings would tell you that.
Right.
I don't think it's any.
Probably not. And so then the other thing would be, well, I guess that would be the real piece of research is
create something that, that we think is the best case scenario for it, right? As just something that sends down a zillion triangles with a super simple TNL configuration and that are all inside the frustum, and utilize this extension and measure the performance with and without it. And if the difference is nil, then kill the fire.
It's not.
Yeah, it's especially would be better for both of them.
It's not that that much.
Is your checking yes, possible.
Yeah.
So, what's the thing with the and the point is, I gather, if you turn it on, it becomes really simple. So it's what if you have a fetch, cake, anything.
It's a big bite.
So that will load
three or four dot products per instance.
Well, and then it's also all the out codes. I mean, there's a bit of mechanism in there.
So,
but yeah, but
in,
then
in the Vertex, have you seen? Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Let's look at the extension. So yeah, it is just turn off clipping. Vertex can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because with shaders, it's useless. And I don't care about the function team performance. So the way that GL says to do backface culling is you have to look at the normals at each of the you have to do something that looks at each of the vertices. Oh no, you do. It's based on the winding after you've done projection.
Right.
And this says that you can do it by looking at the dot product of the vertex normals and the eye vector. Right. So if all the vertex normals point away from the eye, cold polygon. So you have to have. You have to be going. Right, but what it does is it lets you cull a lot earlier.
Right.
So, but it's only fixed function. So, nah. Okay. Okay. Well then I'll float a summary of this out to the MESA list and do the research about the couple other extensions and then probably throw up a branch that starts killing stuff.
Cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like we didn't get to talk about the GLSL compiler.
And it probably at this point isn't time later on.
Well, there is 1 hour to discuss the server on front end after the break. I don't know if we will see 1 hour on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Say after 5:50, 5:30, and then also.